Getting some of your comments off the Issues Etc. listener comment line for the next half hour of Issues Etc. Our call-in numbers are 505-780-1800-730-2727 or 505-780-1800. I'm Todd Wilkin. Welcome back for the third hour of the program. We'll spend another half hour listening to your comments. You can call as well and comment on the comments. That's what this is really all about. And then in the last half hour, Eric and Polly Rapp, a performing duo in Hazel Park, Michigan, are going to be joining us to talk about their new CD called More Than Enough. That's the last half hour of Issues Etc. Let's go to the phones and see what Jeff in Valley Forge, Pennsylvania has to say. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, Todd. How you been?
Doing good.
Good. Long time no speak for me, I guess. One thing I would mention, I'm a PCA, Presbyterian Church in America.
All right, good
and,
for you.
No intention of learning German and, you know, moving over to the Missouri Synod. That's a joke. You can laugh at that.
Yeah.
One thing I wanted to mention was that I find, especially with people in the Reformation, from confessional Lutherans, confessional Presbyterians, Reformed Baptists and whatever, we have a lot in common.
Oh, yeah.
Especially, you know, just kind of like listening to the White Horse Inn and hearing the different viewpoints from, you know, slightly different angles, but there's so much common cause. And one thing I would like to mention is, like, I won't name the aid agency, but a rather large evangelical aid agency. I you know, had good experiences with them in the past, started sponsoring a child. The next thing I know, my child is being sponsored, is being cared for by a Catholic nun. And I read another article later that they a lot of their aid goes through, in some parts of the world, Muslims. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, that the Missouri Synod aid agency, I would much rather have my money go through a group like that that has, I have some, you know, significant but not major disagreements with than through Muslims or Roman Catholics. So,
all right, Jeff, thank you very much. Thanks for getting back with us here after some time, and thanks for listening.
Yeah, my wife got a puppy, so I have to book early, you know.
Oh, understood. Thanks for listening in Pennsylvania as well. Well, he's talking about LCMS, World Relief, of course, and there's another perhaps myth that they might find a bit chagrining, and that is that you'd have to be a Lutheran to send your money to LCMS World Relief. Jeff in Valley Forge obviously doesn't believe that. LCMS World Relief is there helping people regardless of their faith, their nationality, or their circumstances. The only qualification? They're in need. That's it. In need of concern for both body and soul. That's what LCMS World Relief is all about. You can contact them, Jeff, if you want to. That's a great number to call, 1-888-930-4438, 1-888-930-4438. You can go to our homepage and find out more, too. You'll find a picture of Pastor Matt Harrison and LCMS World Relief at issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. All right. Oh, I do want to say something. Lois called before the break, and she said she'd seen someone earlier today that was upset with me because they'd heard a sermon review I'd done of a sermon of D. James Kennedy. It was a Mother's Day sermon very recently from D. James Kennedy, his congregation. He was preaching in his pulpit on a Sunday morning on a Mother's Day. And it was a very complete exposition of motherhood and all these kind of things. And if I remember correctly, there was part of our sermon diagnostic, our three-part sermon diagnostic, the first part is, how often is Jesus mentioned? And we were using it when we were evaluating Dr. Kennedy's sermon, and he mentioned Jesus two times, the same number of times he mentioned Adolf Hitler, by the way. Just I don't know that if that means anything. And then he mentioned 17 other people in the course of his sermon. George Washington, Robert Lewis, a bunch of other people out there. And never actually got to the cross. He talked a lot about motherhood, and the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world was the theme of the sermon, as I remember. But on a Sunday morning in a Christian church from a Christian pulpit, a Christian minister, never got around to the cross of Jesus Christ. Now, look, I think D. James Kennedy's a fine man. I know that he knows the gospel. I know that he understands the gospel because I have heard him preach it before. My only critique of his Mother's Day sermon is, why didn't he preach it on Mother's Day? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, and our in-studio email address is issuesetc@kfuo.org. On that subject, here's another comment from the same listener.
Hi, today is May 16th, and I listened to the program from 4 to 4:30. Jesus' name was never used, and so he was the object of the verb 0% of the time. And so I guess by your own standard, that's not very Christ-centered and cross-focused. But I'd just give you a little feedback on that.
All right, again, thank you for the feedback. A nice attempt to employ the issues, etc. sermon diagnostic, although slightly misguided. Remember, it is a sermon diagnostic. I think we've said this before, but maybe it bears repeating. Don't confuse radio with the church. Don't confuse the 3 hours of issues, etc., with the time spent listening to your preacher in the pulpit. Do we make a point of being Christ-centered and cross-focused? Yes. Our general purpose? Defend the faith, teach the truth. But we are not a church. This is not a pulpit, and I am not your pastor. I am a pastor, but I'm not your pastor. Okay? And I don't mean that to be harsh. I'm simply saying that it's a sermon diagnostic that we use. It is intended for Christian preaching. So if D. James Kennedy were giving, for instance, a seminar on, American Christianity or something like that, I am not going to apply the sermon diagnostic to his seminar on American Christianity or American history. The expectations are entirely different. But when a preacher gets in the pulpit, ostensibly to do what preachers do, which is proclaim Christ and Him crucified, a la St. Paul, they better mention Jesus and His cross. Otherwise, it's not Christian preaching. Now, if I preached a Christless, crossless sermon, I would not only expect that criticism, but I would be very disappointed if I didn't get it. Now, the half hour that he said he listened to on May 16th was the first half hour of an hour-long conversation with Dr. David Adams on numbers in the Bible, which, by the way, if I'm not mistaken, will also be the subject of a future nationally syndicated issues, etc., sometime in the future. We were talking about numbers in the Bible. The caller heard apparently only the first half hour. Had he listened on through the second half hour to the conclusion of that conversation on numbers in the Bible with Dr. David Adams, he would have heard me say this. There is one number that is no need to under or over interpret it, and it is in fact the number that matters most in Holy Scripture. It's one. That is the number of saviors that God has sent into the world for us all, for however many you might number the human race, and one life laid down at the cross, one life taken up again as the substitute for every human life. That's the number that is not open to interpretation in any way, and it's the number that truly comforts sinners like you and like me. We'll come back with some more audio open lines right after this.
A voice in
the... All right, so sometimes it helps to listen to the end of the conversation. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. And our in-studio email address is issuesetc@kfuo.org. This is an email that comes from Kia in Birmingham, Alabama, where she listens. She says, to the matter of the recent Lutheran convert, talking about one of our earlier submissions to the Issues, Etc. comment line, exactly how does this improve the person's lot in heaven? He was a Christian, saved by Christ, so what has changed? Now I understand having a moral, thorough understanding of the truth, but as I survey the church, Catholic, she says, I find strengths and weaknesses in all camps. I love your program, and I find myself agreeing with you on all theological areas, but what would be gained for someone to convert from Presbyterianism to the Lutheran Church? It's an excellent question, Kia. It's an excellent question. Let me say, I'll answer your question, what would it benefit someone, in just a moment. But first let me say, it's always good, as a general principle, to move from error, any error, toward the truth. And we've made no bones about the fact that when it comes to Presbyterians, who we will now classify theologically as Calvinists, I don't think any of them would be offended by that. From my reading of Scripture, and from my position with the Lutheran confessions, there are errors there in the Calvinist doctrines. So if you ask me, how does it benefit someone? It's not just gaining a more thorough understanding. It is, in some cases, moving from error to truth. Now, don't get me wrong. As I said with Jeff from Valley Forge a few minutes ago, when it comes to Calvinism and Lutheranism as two streams of the Reformation, there are many and important areas of agreement. There are also many and important areas of disagreement. The Calvinists believe the Lutherans to be in error, and the Lutherans believe the Calvinists to be in error. And that's the way it ought to be, by the way. Everyone's being honest with one another. But it's always, as a general principle, better to move from error to truth. So that's the general answer. But you say, what would it benefit someone to convert, for lack of a better word, convert from Presbyterian to Lutheran? What's the benefit? Certainty. It's all there in one word, certainty. Because the errors of the Calvinist position, all error robs the Christian of certainty. But on their position, say, for instance, of eternal election, double predestination, it is a false teaching that robs them of certainty. They don't think it does, but it does. I can demonstrate how it robs them of certainty quite simply. Ask a Calvinist, are you elect? They'll say yes. Then say, how do you know? Now, that's a little harder question to answer. How do you know? Well, they might say, look at my life. I'm fairly certain that I'm elect because I believe as a Christian, I act like a Christian. Yes, but doesn't your church teach that there are those who regard themselves as Christians who are in fact not? They're deluding themselves? Yes, that's what the Calvinist position teaches. Well, how do you know you're not one of them? How do you know that you're elect? That you're truly among those who aren't simply deluding themselves, but are in fact not deluding yourself, but a real bona fide elect Christian? Now, if they say, look at my life, I think there's evidence there. What certainty is there in that, in your deeds? Unless, of course, your deeds are perfect. What certainty is there in that? There's none. What if you should happen to fall into a grievous sin? What becomes of your certainty? You see, the difference here is that, in this case, the Calvinist theological position tries to find certainty in once saved, always saved, or in look at the change in my life, I'm persevering in grace. Whereas the Lutheran position says, my certainty is completely and wholly outside me, in the perfect life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. That's where my certainty lies. Now, isn't it good to move from uncertainty to certainty? I just don't want my dear Calvinist brethren spending a moment on their deathbed fretting as to whether or not they're really elect. I want them to be able to say, in answer to the question, how do you know you're elect? To say, Jesus died for me. And to be consistent, they can't really do that as a Calvinist. It's really about loving your neighbor, you know that? Someone who tells you, you know, we got our theological differences and I think they're wrong on this or that or the other thing, and they make no real sincere effort to correct that, they don't love you. They don't care about you. We had a caller earlier, Lois, who said a little leaven leavens the whole lump, and she said she wished that people would see that what we're trying to do on issues, etc., is simply warn people about the errors that are there, that are to which we are so easily subject. Jesus did it. He warned people about errors, not only the ones around in his day, but the ones that were coming. Why did he do it? He loved people. He did not want to see them fall into error. That's the reason we point out error. Next caller has some issues with infant baptism and baptismal regeneration. Let's see what he had to say.
Used to be I had to be happy with hearing the show hit and miss, and now I can download it and listen to every last minute of the show. I'm one of those callers, one of those listeners who is not a Lutheran. I'm a Presbyterian, though not one of those PCUSA types. My church is Reformed, and I think you would agree that we're Orthodox in our beliefs and our confessions, but definitely Calvinist in our theology. And through all the years of listening to issues, I've been greatly blessed and educated. I find myself in what I call a limbo between Lutheranism and Reformed theology. And in listening to one of the shows with, I think it was Rod Rosenblatt, talking about original sin, the issue of one of the callers, I think, asked a question about babies being baptized, and if they weren't baptized, did they lose out on their opportunity for heaven? And Rod's answer, if I remember correctly, was that Jesus died for those babies as well, and he gave me the impression that at least he assumed that baptized babies who died, or perhaps even unbaptized babies who died at that very early age, would be inheriting heaven.
Okay, I'm stopping him in mid-sentence here so that I can respond to that particular issue. Hey, Jeff, do you? I remember the original sin conversation with Rod Rosenblatt, but for the life of me, I don't remember the question about babies unbaptized or unbaptized. Do you have any recollection of what?
Yeah,
Rod
we did. We got a call or email on that.
Oh, you did?
Yes.
And do you remember what Rod said?
No, I don't. I don't.
Okay,
remember
that's what I don't remember, and I don't want to mischaracterize what Rod may or may not have said. So. I just wanted to make sure that none of us here remembered. It's all archived at the website. You can go to kfuo.org. And I think this was, Jeff, you can give me the date here in a moment. We were talking, it was a Sunday night program on original sin with Dr. Rod Rosenblatt. And it's notable in my mind because it was probably the first time in a number of years that Rod had been on the Sunday Night Issues, Etc. show. And it had been an overdue appointment with him to talk about that very important subject. Now, I'll speak for myself and not for Rod. What do we say of unbaptized children? Should they die prior to baptism or without baptism? What do we say? We can say nothing more than what Scripture says. What does Scripture say? It says we are conceived and born in sin, estranged from God, enemies from God, of God. And it also, and so we say that about the infants. But we also say something else that Scripture says about the infants, and that is when Christ shed his blood at the cross, he poured out his blood for, as an atonement for all sin and for every sinner. So what can we say on the basis of Scripture about the unbaptized babies who die? We can only say they are sinners just like you and me, deserving of condemnation. Christ died for them. He shed his blood for them too. And then we stop talking. That's all the more we can say on the basis of Scripture. Can we say they're going to go to heaven? No. Can we say that they're going to go to hell? No. We can only say what Scripture says. That's it. Now, of baptized babies, to get to his other question, of baptized babies, we can say beyond a shadow of a doubt that all who have been baptized into Christ have been buried with Christ. buried and raised again from the dead with Christ. That's when it says all, it means all. Even the babies. That they are incorporated into Christ's death and resurrection, and thereby become heirs of eternal life. Now that's saying something. Yes, baptized babies go to heaven. Why can we say that? Because that's what Scripture says. All right, now there's another part to his question. Here it is.
And I know that in my current church and our tradition, we wouldn't assume salvation for even a baptized infant. And yet in Lutheranism, if I understand correctly, the belief is that faith is given with baptism. So I'm curious, and this is one of those issues that has troubled me. If a child is baptized as an infant and given faith, are they at that tender age able and at any time to reject their faith? I know that Lutheranism believes that a person can be saved and then reject their faith, which is one of the issues I have a hard time agreeing with. So does that mean that every baptized baby, given that faith, until they're old enough to cognitively reject Jesus and his gift of salvation, are they saved until that point in life? So thank you for the show. I hope you could come up with a program addressing this issue. I'm sure there's a lot of us out there who are in my situation. But thank you again for Issues. It's a wonderful show. I do my best to support it financially, and I listen faithfully, and thank you. Bye.
All right, thank you very much for the comment. First of all, look, this is why we stay on the air, because we call ourselves Talk Radio for the Thinking Christian. That means two things. It means not just for people who actually have critical thinking skills, but also we want our listeners to continue to think about the issues that we raise, like this. Can a baptized infant fall away from the faith? Can you fall away from the faith? Scripture warns us constantly against making shipwreck of the faith, of falling into unrepentant sin, and thereby, as Scripture would say of the Galatians, falling from grace. If Scripture warns us that we can fall from the faith, it's a warning we ought to take seriously. And this applies to all Christians. You notice, again, Paul does not make a distinction between on age when he says, all of you who have been baptized into Christ. If a person falls from the faith, is it God's fault? No. Baptism is certain, because Christ's death and resurrection for the sinner is certain. If a Christian falls away from the faith, whose fault is it? It only leaves one person, and it's not God. By the way, that conversation was April the 22nd, a Sunday night program, April the 22nd on Original Sin with Dr. Rod Rosenblatt, one of the co-hosts of the White Horse Inn. If you want to go reference it, you can find it in the archived audio of Issues, etc. at KFUO.org. When we come back, a new CD is called More Than Enough by Eric and Polly Rapp. We'll talk about it.
Voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism. You're listening to Issues, etc.
Martin Luther had a famous reflection on the Reformation. He said, "The Word did everything." While he sat and talked and drank beer with his friends, he said, "The Word overturned the doctrines of the Pope. The Word did everything." Well, the Word is the subject of our Issues, etc., Book of the Month for May, Word, God Speaks to Us, by Pastor John Pless. He's a regular guest on Issues, etc. The book is $8.99 plus shipping and handling. For more information about Word, God Speaks to Us, go to our website, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House and ask about the Issues, etc. Book of the Month for May, Word, God Speaks to Us, by Pastor John Pless. 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040.
Humanists, they're targeting our youth.
Answers with Ken Ham, a popular speaker on the creation-evolution controversy and the designer of the soon-to-open Creation Museum. Well, Ken, is it true that one of America's humanist groups is actually targeting children and college students with propaganda that we would call anti-God?
Yes, that's true, and all Christians need to be made aware of it. In one of the leading humanist organizations' newsletters, they stated, quote, "Our unprecedented college and university outreach has sparked the formation of atheist and humanist groups on more than 70 campuses. More than 200 new groups are in the process of forming," end of quote. Also in the same letter, they explain how they're targeting families, quote, "You've seen Family Matters, our new publication for parents who've taken on the challenge of raising humanist children in a culture obsessed with faith. Our moral education program for children has gone through 2 years of development here, and we plan to launch a regular program of critical thinking classes for the young," end of quote. You see, the humanists are on the march to eliminate God from the culture. One of the most successful ways they're accomplishing this is through the teaching of Darwinian evolution in schools and colleges. Help us spread the truth of the answers in Genesis that can help save this nation from moral collapse.
Can the book of Genesis provide answers to the problem of racism? Ken Ham shows how in his free booklet, available through our website, answersradio.com.
I am Professor Rick Neufer, and I am the Dean of Assessment at Concordia Theological Seminary. Our seminary strives to be the very best seminary possible for the preparation of pastors and other church workers. Therefore, we have voluntarily subjected ourselves to the high standards of the North Central Association of Colleges and Universities and to the standards of the Association of Theological Schools. The faculty and administration of Concordia Theological Seminary continually assess its programs, curriculum, and teaching methods, all so that we can be the best that we can be and offer our students an excellent education. We take St. Paul's word to Timothy seriously, that pastors should be apt to teach. They must know the faith and be able to articulate it.
For excellence in theological education, call Concordia Theological Seminary, 1-800-481-2155.
Is this how you feel as a parent? Like a frightened chicken, afraid the sky might fall on your family any moment? Focus on the Family with Dr. James Dobson can help keep you from chickening out on your most vital role, being the parent your kids need most. Keep parenting in perspective with Focus on the Family, heard weekdays right here.
Weekdays at 9:30 on AM 850 KFUO.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. Here in the last half hour, we're going to be talking with Eric and Polly Rapp, a performing duo in Hazel Park, Michigan. We have a new CD called More Than Enough. I've already decided a couple things. Some of the tracks off of this CD are going to become some permanent bump music for various elements of the program. And if at all possible, if we ever are able, God willing, to assemble an Issues Etc. conference, I think our musical entertainment will be provided by Eric and Polly Rapp, if I have anything to say about it. Our call-in numbers are 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727, and our in-studio email address is issuesetc@kfuo.org. Eric and Polly, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Eric, tell us about your spiritual journey.
Well, I was raised sort of a nominal Baptist, and really didn't become strongly Christian, I guess, until I was about 30 or so. And that's when I was invited to come to a Methodist church and sing in the choir. And that's where I met Polly. And, you know, I was just thought that church was, Christianity was just about the same across the board. And, seems to me, when I look back on it, the Methodist Church was very law-oriented in a sort of social gospel way. And all I know is I always sort of felt that I was probably not... I had a lot of doubts that I was actually going to heaven. Then one day I was searching just for things to listen to on the Internet, because I like listening to talk radio. Really, at the time, I like listening to political talk radio. And I stumbled across your show, and was listening to it because you brought up some interesting issues. And I would listen to you, and you would always be talking about, you know, you're saved by grace through faith for the sake of Christ alone. And it seemed like you said that almost every show, and I would just kind of say, wow, he really likes to drive that home, doesn't he? And I listened to the show so much that kept on kind of going through my head, and I didn't really think much about it, really. But one day I was reading the Bible in the morning, and I think I was reading Luke 7, where the woman comes in and washes Jesus' feet, and the Pharisees are there. And if you know what I'm talking about there, I think. And,
oh, yeah.
Well, I read that story, and for some reason, I don't know why, that whole message of salvation by grace through faith for the sake of Christ alone just suddenly clicked, and I just thought, oh, so that's what he means. And at that point, I just wanted to learn more and hear more about Lutheran theology, and so I kept listening to your show, and I started reading the Bible with that lens in mind. And it's really changed my life, and I had to work on trying to persuade Polly to become a Lutheran and not be a Methodist anymore. And so that's basically my story.
Well, Polly, I think when we met in Dearborn, Michigan some years back,
yes.
You were still not completely persuaded. I vaguely remember a conversation with the two of you.
That's correct.
Where you seemed less persuaded than Eric did. But talk about what... clear understanding of God's word in terms of law and gospel with the emphasis on Christ and him crucified. What impact has that had on your life?
Wow, it's gotten a lot clearer since Eric became a Lutheran and since I've become a Lutheran. It's just, I was kind of in that habit of thinking, you know, there's all these things I have to do. Well, I was raised Catholic, so you have to go to church, and you have to go to confession, and you have to do this, and you have to do that in order to be saved. And suddenly it's like, no, I don't. I finally realized, you know, it's like, okay, Jesus did do it all for me, and my job is to live in gratitude for that. And it's very freeing. It's and I did get over the issues we were talking about in Dearborn. I did a lot of praying about them and reading the Bible, and a couple of the issues were answered in surprising ways. But that's the way God works.
Yes, he's always surprising, no doubt about that. Eric, am I overstating it when I say that that issues, et cetera, and the content that you heard over the years has in some ways inspired some of the tracks on this CD?
Oh, yes. Most definitely. I've even lifted some of the things you've said and put them in one song in particular. So.
Well, we'd like to listen to some of it. So okay. Tell us about the first song that we're going to hear. It's called Hey Preacher Man.
Well, that was inspired by your sermon reviews. Now, I was used to hearing... I think at the time I wrote this, we were still going to a Methodist church, and I was hearing sermons that, you know, talked about, a lot of times the preacher would sort of talk about, it was a woman preacher, talked about herself and kind of what she does and where she went on vacation and those kinds of things, and some of them were sort of had a political taint to them. And that's kind of where I got the material for the verses, and I just from your show and you saying that the sermon should be focused on Jesus and what he did for us, and not the other way around on ourselves.
This is from a CD by Eric and Polly Rapp, a performing duo in Hazel Park, Michigan. The CD is called More Than Enough, and this track is called Hey Preacher Man.
Hey, preacher man, give me the gospel. your song, where you went, or how much it cost. Instead, won't you tell me all the words that give me salvation, how he lived and how he died for me on the cross. Hey, preacher man, give me the gospel, give me the good news of God's only son. Hey, preacher man, give me the gospel, give me his body, give me his blood. I don't want to hear about new ideas you learned while in seminary. Hire critics like Marcus Ford or John Shelby Spahn. Please don't invite those learned men to preach in our sanctuary. They're wise to men, but fools to God, and such fools are wrong. Hey, preacher man, give me the gospel, not with human wisdom, just tell it to me straight. Hey, preacher man, give me the gospel, let me know I'm foolish, lead me to the gate. Don't want to hear an opinion piece on the news or political parties. Democrat, Republican, to him it's all the same. Please don't tell me how I have to vote to earn the Father's favor. There's nothing I can do for that, cause Christ did everything. Hey, preacher man, give me the gospel. Tell me of the God-man who bore all the blame. Hey,
from the CD called More Than Enough, Hey Preacher Man is the name of the track. We're talking with the performing duo in Hazel Park, Michigan, that put the CD together, Eric and Polly Rapp. Polly, I cannot help make the comparison, and I hope that you think it's a favorable comparison with Johnny Cash and June Carter.
Oh, my.
And Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
Yeah, we've been told that that's like the Oh Brother music. Yeah, that's kind of where we come from.
Were you actually playing the auto harp in that piece?
No, actually, no. That's a mountain dulcimer.
Okay, I was picturing, it's hard, I'm no musician, but I was picturing the two of you, guitar and auto harp, just like Cash and Carter used to do.
Well, that is very flattering, thank you.
All right, well, good. Eric, I understand that Hey Preacher Man is ranked second on the American Idol Underground in the faith category, this website that's run out of American Idol, it's underground music.
Yes, that's true. I'm not quite sure how that happened, but we're pleased with it.
So how can our listeners vote for Hey Preacher Man in that particular competition?
I think Polly was sort of the one who entered us into that, so I guess I'll let her.
Polly?
If you go to our website, it's probably the easiest way to get to the American Idol page. Our website is just ericandpollyrap.com. And on the news page, there are several links to the American Idol pages. One of them is right through the chart. One of them is through our profile page. You can get there either way and just click on the song and listen.
It's Eric and Polly Rapp, R-A-P-P,
yes.
.com.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Eric, tell us about the next song. It's called More Than Enough. It's the title track.
Yeah, that was inspired by your, you wrote an essay called Locus and Focus. And at one time, too, you gave a, you kind of did a show, a whole hour on where you just talked about that subject of vocation. And it was around Thanksgiving, probably 2003 or something like that. And, the idea
just blew me away. I'd never heard that before. First, I remember one of the neatest things I remember in the show is when you said that you can't please God more than Jesus has already done so. You know, you can't, nothing you can do can please God because Jesus has already done it. So what you do is just do the things that you have around you for your neighbor. And that just was a tremendous relief when I heard that and when I read your essay. And I just one day was decided I'd write a song on it. So, and I just pretty much lifted a lot of the things you said. And I think in your talk or in your essay, you said, look around you, who is your neighbor? And that's the chorus goes like that. So,
song is called More Than Enough.
What you're doing for them is more than enough. When you go to work where a day seems a lifetime, you're asking, is this what God wants you to do? Take comfort in this. Your boss is your neighbor. You're doing good works God prepared just for you. Look around you, who is your neighbor? Who do you see here in need of God's love? Look around you, because of the Savior, what you're doing for them is more than enough. A woman stays home, feeding the baby, changing the diapers and cleaning the clothes. She can do this with joy because of the Savior. God's will for her now is in front of her nose. Look around you, who is your neighbor? Who do you see here in need of God's love? Look around you because of the Savior. What you're doing for them is more than enough. When evening comes and your head hits the pillow, you think that your life doesn't seem up to snuff. Be glad in the Lord and all that He gave you. What He did on that cross is more than enough. Look around you, who is your neighbor? Who do you see here in need of God's love? Look around you because of the Savior. What you're doing right now is more than enough. What you're doing right now is more than enough.
It's from a CD called More Than Enough, the title track. I never thought in my wildest dreams that I would be hearing beautiful music like this. A song, you know, you ask the average Christian artist, can you write a song about the Scripture's doctrine of vocation? And they'd laugh in your face. You managed to do it, Eric, and beautifully so.
Thank you.
Our time runs short here. I want you to tell us about the last song we're going to hear. It's called He Took My Part.
Well, there I was just trying to write a song that expressed the gospel in the way that I now understand it from hearing the Lutheran perspective. And so it gives just as I tried to do it as simply as possible and tried to incorporate, the fact that he lived a perfect life. Jesus lived a perfect life, and that, it too, is credited to us. I always heard, and I can't believe I've never heard any of this. When I look back on it, being an active Christian for so many years, I never heard any of this, but the idea of his Christ's active righteousness was also a tremendous relief to me, that he obeyed the law perfectly and behaved himself, for lack of a better phrase there, in ways that I can't, and that is credited to me. So I try to put that he lives a perfect life in the song, and just the things that I trying to clearly express it in the way that I think you clearly express it. I don't know if I did it as well, but I tried to put it into a song.
No, I will say without qualification, Eric and Polly, both of you, you express it as clearly, and every time I'm listening to these tracks, I'm thinking to myself, more eloquently and succinctly than I managed to do on the air most times. So I greatly appreciate it. This is called He Took My Part from the CD More Than Enough from Eric and Polly Rapp.
Oh, how I want to tell you of the joy that's in my God gave me the promise that Jesus took my part, that Jesus took my part. The Godhead in the manger, a lowly, humble sight, because I took it all from me. He took it all from me. Then that Sunday morning in the garden, Mary cried. There he stood before her. Now I shall never die. Now I shall never die. Oh, how joy that's in my heart, since God gave me the promise that Jesus took my part, that Jesus took my part.
He took my part. It's from the CD More Than Enough. Eric and Polly Rapp are our guests for the next few minutes here. They're performing duo in Hazel Park, Michigan. The CD's called More Than Enough. Eric and Polly, tell us how you can order More Than Enough.
Again, if you, through our website, there's a link to the cdbaby.com site, and we have two CDs available there. More Than Enough is available there, as well as our first CD, I'll Remember You Love, in my prayers.
I find if you Google Eric and Polly Rapp, you'll also hit those links of both our website and the CD Baby.
And I understand that right now the More Than Enough CD is out of stock, but they can back order. Is that correct?
Yes. We just need to send more copies to them, and then they will have them to ship out.
All right. And by the way, folks, we mentioned just a few minutes ago that if you go to the American Idol Underground website, where they have a running competition of various categories of music, the faith-based category, Eric and Polly's song, which song is the one that's second?
Hey running? Preacher Man.
Hey Preacher Man is second. Let's make it first by going to American Idol Underground to the faith-based category and voting for Hey Preacher Man. That is a song by Eric and Polly Rapp. I cannot say thank you in grand enough terms for you guys taking what you guys have heard on this program and putting it so beautifully to music. Thank you to both of you.
Well, thank you for your show.
Thank you very much.
The website for Eric and Polly Rapp is really easy. Eric and Polly Rapp, R-A-P-P is how rap is spelled, ericandpollyrapp.com. Go there tonight, find out about their CD, order it. You know, this is entirely what Issues Etc. is about. I like to think of it as having, in military terms, pulled the hand grenade off your belt, pulled the pin, and thrown it. You just can't stop a Christ-centered, cross-focused message once it's been tossed into the room. The pin has been pulled. And this show may go away, but the message is out. The comforting message that Christ, in fact, just as he said he did, really, truly did it all for us sinners. His life, his death, and his resurrection for us. Now, you can make a gift to Issues, etc. You can call our resource line number, 1-800-737-0172. You can write us at Issues Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Or just go to our website tonight, issuesetc.org, and help support this worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. Tomorrow, Confession and Absolution with Pastor Peter Bender.
Listen weekday afternoons to Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can donate by credit card on our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. For a free audio copy of this hour of Issues Etc., please visit the audio archive section at kfuo.org. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of AM850 KFUO. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.